Howdy, and welcome to the Six Gun Justice Podcast, where we saddle up and ride hell for leather into the blazing six-gun action of the Western genre in books, movies, TV, and any other media at home on the range. I'm your host, Paul Bishop. Before we begin, however, last episode, in our first look at the history of German language westerns, Tim DeForest and I talked about the competition between the burgeoning film studios in East and West Germany. West German filmmakers found early success adapting Karl May's Winnetou and Old Shatterhand westerns. We mentioned that when the DEFA, the East German state-owned film studio, tried to emulate the West Germans' achievements, they also adapted the Winnetou novels with Yugoslavian actor Gotchko Mitchik in the main role. However, it was brought to our attention that while Gotchko Mitchik had been featured as a supporting actor in five West German Winnetou films, his breakthrough to stardom came playing other Indian heroes in the DEFA East German films. Indeed, the East German Westerns had nothing to do with the novels of Karl May for a specific reason. In Communist Party-ruled East Germany, May was considered a pariah due to his works being co-opted by Adolf Hitler, a point to address again in a moment. The East German Westerns basically flipped the traditional American Western around. Here, the heroes were the Indians, who were typically fighting back against the encroachment of the white Americans on their territory. The first of these, The Sons of the Great Bear, was based on a novel by a woman who reviled May for all of his wild inaccuracies. All of this leads us to a possible misconception from our last episode when we talked about May's influence on the Nazis. It's well documented that May had been referred to as Hitler's cowboy mentor. This was due to the Nazi leader's lifelong obsession with the Winnetou tales, a fixation that led Hitler to urge his generals to read May's novels for inspiration during the Battle of Stalingrad. However, even though May often played loosely with the truth of his own life events, he was a pacifist who abhorred violence and racism. He bemoaned the demise of the Red Man and what he saw as the deep injustice of manifest destiny. May's empathy for the Native American plight remains the single most important reason for the German love of the American West, even today. May died in 1912, a few days after giving a rousing speech in favor of peace and harmony between the nations to hundreds of his followers in Vienna, Austria. His final Winnetou novel, Winnetou's Testament, is in reality a manifesto for brotherhood and harmony between the tribes, the races, and the nations. His works could not have been more diametrically opposite to the hate-filled ramblings of Hitler's Mein Kampf. As pacifist as he was, May would most certainly turn over in his grave several times if faced with the mere thought of his name being used in the same sentence with anything connected to the horrors of Nazism. Clearly, May would have been appalled to find his work being promoted by a man of pure evil who, in his twisted mind, completely misinterpreted May's intentions. Thanks to Michael and Daniel who raised these issues, it's nice to know somebody's listening. And now we return you to your regularly scheduled podcast. Over our last few episodes, it has become clear that the Western genre has almost as much influence in countries around the globe as it has in America. In upcoming episodes, the Six Gun Justice Podcast will be riding hard across Western landscapes in Australia, England, the Netherlands, Spain, and Italy. We'll be exploring the indigenous Westerns of these countries and their amazing homegrown Western wordslingers, many of whom have never set foot on American shores, let alone been west of the Mississippi. Today, the podcast is heading back to Germany for part two of our look at the Western genre in Germany, which continues to thrive in 2022. Joining me for this overview is the Western wordslinger Alfred Wallen, a man with blazing six guns and Western history running through his veins, and who has written over 200 Westerns for the German market. Alfred was born in Germany in 1957. When he was 12, his father, who was a big reader of Westerns, began sharing his enthusiasm for the genre, sparking Alfred's love of the Western in all its forms, which has never diminished. Alfred published his first Western novel in 1981. Since then, he has written over 200 novels, with more to come. A great majority of his books have been Westerns, but he's also written in other genres such as crime, science fiction and fantasy, and action adventure. However, he still maintains a preference for historical Westerns. During the past 5 years, he has published his novels in paperback and ebook with Blitz Verlag and Apex Verlag. Guten Tag, Alfred. Thanks for joining me on the Six Gun Justice Podcast.
Hello, Paul. I feel honored to be with you for this podcast.
I take it you were born in Germany. Were your parents born there as well? Or were they Americans living in Germany with the military or something like that?
My ancestors come from Belgium, but I was born and raised in Germany, my parents too, and I just grew up, as you said before, with loving and reading Western, watching TV shows like High Chaparral, Bonanza, The Virginian, and many things like that. And I just got so used to it that I wanted to learn more about the Westerns.
What turned your dad onto the Western in the first place? You said he was reading Western novels and that's what got you started. How was it he got hooked?
It's funny to admit that I never know. When I was 5 or 6 years old, I always saw him sitting there reading Westerns, and this was just normal for me. And he didn't say much about that, but he only said, that's the kind of stuff I like, and it's just great for me.
Were these German translation of American Westerns, or were they German Westerns written in Germany for the German audience?
The last one, what you said, it was mostly German Western writers, because at that time we had only very few novels translated over here in Germany, such like Zane Grey or Max Brandt or Ernest Haycox. But he preferred to read German authors. Honestly, to admit, I always loved the American Westerns when they came up over here.
By this point, you've read many German Westerns and many American Westerns. What do you see as the biggest difference between the two?
The biggest difference for many German writers is they just want to tell and describe a fairy tale where the heroes have cowboy hats and six guns. But I found out very soon most of these novels are not based on historical facts, and I wanted to learn more about the real history. And that's the time when I began buying nonfiction books about the history of the Old West, and then I found the difference.
What was your background educationally before you began writing novels?
I went to school and learned also a sales job with the age of 18 or 19. In my real profession, I'm a salesperson for more than 30 years. And all those 200 Westerns which I have written, I'm doing that in my leisure time.
Doesn't leave much time for anything else.
If you love something, you don't have to ask for anything else.
That's very true. It's common in Europe for most people to speak multiple languages, not only their own country's language, but very often English and French and other languages. When did you first start learning to speak English?
It was in school. I was, I guess, about 12 or 13 years old. We had English as first foreign language, then Latin, and then French. And my former English teacher, he had a novel was called Pioneer Days of Kentucky, written by a guy named James Walker McSpadden. And it was telling the history about Daniel Boone. And at that time, I was very much interested in Westerns. And the teacher said, after you have read this novel, just continue it with your own words. And I guess that's when it began.
Oh, that was the encouragement you needed. Yeah. And the first time you really thought about doing your own novels?
I made experiences when I was 14 or 15 or 16 years old. I just tried to write something, but only for myself, just to exercise. But I started in 1980 really to think about publishing professionally. And at that time, I wrote my first Western novel. It was about a trail drive of a Texas cowboy outfit who drove cattle to Abbey Lane. This was my first novel.
What was that one called?
The German title was The Dollar Wolves of Abbey Lane. You can smile, I know. It was a crew from Texas, and they had the idea to drive cattle to Abbey Lane, where the first railroad tracks were. And I described what happened after the cowboys arrived in Abbey Lane.
In your reading of Westerns, before you got to the point where you began writing your own, what German authors did you feel that were popular? Now, you and I have talked before, and you really don't care for Karl May because he was writing fairy tales. He was not writing true Westerns, in your opinion. What other German writers, however, struck your fancy?
There was a guy named Peter Dubin. I knew him not personally, but we corresponded a few times and phoned a few times. I got hooked on his novels because his characters were very dark, and most of his novels didn't have a happy end. This was an exception to all other Western writers over here in Germany, and I preferred him. And there's also another author called Dietmar Kügler, who has a publishing company for nonfiction books about the historical Westerns. He is currently touring in the United States and visiting with a group of travelers the historical places.
If you like the dark, or what we call noir, westerns, have you had an opportunity to read H.A. DeRosso, who's probably the darkest of the American western writers?
I remember his name, but I'm not quite sure if I remember his novel.
I think you would, because he is so dark and makes a definite difference, like you're talking about, from the traditional happy ending westerns.
I would like to mention American authors which are very important for me. I would firstly mention Terry C. Johnston. I've read all his 21 historical books. I think he is a masterclass of its own as far as historical details are concerned. He died in 2001, and I just love to read his novels. He has a foreword, he has an afterword, he has drawn maps, and during his time, he also invited readers that they could visit historical places.
So your love for the Western comes in the form of not nonfiction necessarily, but close to that, the historical fiction that is as close to the true life as it can get.
Yes. What I am doing is I invent fictional characters and let them act together with historical figures, and the fictional characters describe the historical events from their point of view without changing the history.
When you first decided to take this plunge into writing Western novels, what was the publishing market like in Germany for these types of books?
In the 80s, we had a bigger market. There were some mass market publishers who also published American Westerns. We had a publisher who published 4 paperbacks each month with authors like Will Henry, Jory Sherman, Elmer Kelton, and many others. At the end of the 80s, beginning of the 90s, the market for Westerns began to shrink because a younger generation looked for different kind of stuff. These were videos, these were horror literature, these were science fiction. I've written that too, but my opinion is a good Western contains nearly everything what you need to read and to love.
You mentioned Will Henry, who's actually one of my favorite historical Western writers. I think his books are tremendous. Have you read a lot of him?
I've read these books which were published in Germany. I guess about 60 or 70% of his novels were published in German language over here. I love to read his story about the Yellowstone Kelly and characters like that.
His Custer novels were very good too. Yeah. And one of the things I liked about him is, as you spoke about, he takes historical characters and has them interact with his created characters and see where the story goes.
Yeah, that's just it, because I always prefer the historical Westerns, and I just refuse to read the adult Westerns.
With the Western in Germany, was there indigenous television shows that were made, or were all the Westerns American imports?
99% American origin.
The spaghetti Westerns were hot in Italy. Were there any German Westerns, or maybe what we would call Wiener Schnitzel Westerns, for lack of a better term, that were made by German filmmakers?
Some of Karl May novels were filmed over here, but these are the only one I know. And as I said before, I do not like to watch fairy tales.
With your own work, you had your first novel about the cattle drive.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get that published?
About a year or so. We had a few publishing companies. At that time, there was no internet, no people which I knew. I just was a youngster who didn't have any experiences. So I just sent the novel to various publishers. The first one rejected it with the explanation, it is too historical for us. We cannot use this. And I wrote them back, do you know what you're telling me right now? You are publishing bad Westerns and not use historical Westerns. It took me about 6 or 7 months till I found a publisher who was interested in historical Westerns, and he let me do what I wanted to do. And 1981, 1982, the year when I published 5 historical Westerns. After that, it was easy. And when I contacted other publishers, I could say, look, I have already 5 novels published. What do you want to have from me? I can also write adventure stories. I can write trucker stories. I can write crime, science fiction, and fantasy. I just offered that to do that, although I have never written something like that before.
You said you fade with your sales career and did your writing in your leisure time. And this kind of mirrors what I did myself. I had a 35-year career outside of the literary form. doing something completely different, but wrote in my leisure time, such as it was, because the writer's income is so up and down, and it's much better to have the solid job behind you, especially if you have a family. But at some point, did you ever feel that you could break away and write full time?
No, I never thought about that, because if I'm living as a self-employed writer, I have to write. If I'm doing that in my leisure time, I am free to write. This is a difference.
It's a big difference. It's semantics, but in reality, it is a big difference.
Yeah. If you want to write in Germany Western novels, you have to write one novel each week so that you get a little bit money to live on, but it's not much. Those novels with 64 pages, yeah, it's not a paperback, it's small novels which are available over here on the German market. But nobody can tell me if he writes one Western each week that there is good quality.
And I would agree with that, but you're talking about novelettes. In reality, in America, there is no market for that 25,000-word novelette, as you're talking about, a 64-page story.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there still a market for that in Germany? Are those still available?
Yes. Perhaps those Lasseter novels from the USA. These were written by, I don't remember the name, but they licensed the storyline over here in Germany and published the first novel in 1972. And the series is still going with about 2,600 editions.
These were the Lasseter novels that we're talking about here.
Yeah.
And they were attributed to Jack Slade, which was a pseudonym for Peter McCurtin, who just ground this stuff out. And then he would also bring in other authors to write these stories.
Yeah.
American Westerns in Germany seem to hang on longer than they do in America. For instance, High Chaparral was popular for much, much longer in Germany after it went off the air here in the United States.
Yeah.
In fact, there were 6 tie-in novels to High Chaparral, and 4 of them were only published in England and Germany, not in the United States. That's because the market was there. With the Lasseter novels, the continuation of them, you're talking about 2,000 Lasseter adventures. That's amazing.
This is amazing, but it's adult Westerns, and they are written not in a classical way of Westerns. And the problem is that a few generations grew up with Lasseter and have forgotten what a real historical Western is. I grew up with High Chaparral. Without that series, I would never have become a Western writer. Was amazing for me. I loved Leif Erikson, I loved Cameron Mitchell, I loved Henry Darrow. These were the stars of my teenage years.
With the German publisher of the Lasseter stories, is that Batiste?
Batei is the name.
So Batei is the publisher of the Lasseter novels in Germany.
Yeah.
They are considered low-end pulp publisher, a high-end publisher. How do you view them?
They are also publishing paperbacks, but this is just these small novels. You can not get them in bookstores, but in other stores.
Perhaps the supermarkets or drugstores, that type of thing?
Things like that, yes.
This is also fascinating to me because when we did the episode on the influence of American Westerns in Mexico, Mexico also has this same type of ongoing small novel publishers that are not available in the bookstores, but are in convenience stores and are very much for public consumption in that way.
This is the first thing I hear now. It was completely unknown to me.
American Westerns have also appeared in a lot of German comics. Have you had any experience with those at all?
Yes, but my experience with the French and Belgian Westerns, such Blueberry and other things like that. But the American comics like Hopalong Cassidy or things like that, I have never read.
Have you read Lucky Luke? One of my favorites.
Yes, yes, of course. It's not bad. I like the humor.
And quite frankly, they deal with historical events in a way that makes them very clear, even though there's the humor aspect to it. I think it's very well done.
Yeah, yes, of course. It's good to read.
When you sit down to write a Western, all right, you've turned in your latest manuscript. How long before you start the next one?
As I'm 65 years of age now, and I've started to write and read Westerns at the age of 14, I have a lot of nonfiction books over here in my private library, and I know a lot of historical facts, which I don't have to look up any longer. I just know them. So I concentrate on a certain storyline when I know that the historical background is clear. The idea takes about 1 or 2 hours, and then I start to write.
And how long are your novels word-wise?
70,000, 80,000 words.
So these are full novels, and you write them at a pace of 5 a year, 4 a year?
Currently, it's about 20 a year.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot of novels. You really love to do it.
Absolutely. That's what I always wanted to do. And I'm so happy with these two publishers you mentioned before. They just let me do what I've got in mind. I'm offering them a certain idea. And they said, you just go and write and everything will be okay.
These, of course, are written in German.
A few of my novels have been translated in English language and are available as ebooks on Amazon and other online sales platforms, but only a few.
Are they under your own name?
Yes.
That would be great. I'm going to have to look these up because I did try a quick search on Amazon and I didn't locate anything. So you're going to have to email me or message me with a couple of the titles so I can track them down because yes. I'm fascinated to read them.
Yes, I will do that. My favorite of reading and watching now, I can say only two things. The best classic and historical Westerns I have ever seen was Lonesome Dove. And the best modern Western I'm currently love to see is Yellowstone.
And that is incredibly popular over here as well. With your own writings, is there any other contemporary author that is writing Westerns in the same fashion as you are, as quickly as you are?
Not as quickly as me. There are a few others, but not more than 4 or 5 who are concentrating on historical facts. The German market is dominated with novels in Lasseter style, but in historical Westerns, Blitz is currently the publisher with the widest product range as far as Westerns are concerned in small editions, not in a mass market publishing. He is an independent publisher, but he's doing the best he can, and I'm going to support him as long as I can.
With other writers in Germany, not necessarily just Western writers, is there a literary community where people can gather or have writing conventions that goes on in Germany other than, say, the Frankfurt Book Fair?
The Frankfurt Book Fair was not held for 2 years because of the pandemic situation over here, but I have never met people in Germany who encourage each other. Each author and writer is the other one's enemy. This is my experience. In America, it is completely different. When you are in contact with American writers, they encourage you, they help you, they give you guiding. I knew Jory Sherman before he died. He gave me so many important values. I know William W. Johnstone's niece, Jo Johnstone. We are friends on Facebook and we are corresponding regularly. American Western writers are just a big family.
Very true. In fact, the Western Writers of America yearly convention, which has just been held in Great Falls, Montana, is one of the most welcoming conventions I've ever been to. I've been to mystery conventions and science fiction conventions and others, but there's nothing like the warmth of the Western family here. And as you say, Jory Sherman was a mentor to many.
Yeah.
Elmer Kelton was the same way, and many others. It seems to me if you tell an American Western writer you want to write a Western, the first thing they want to do is help you.
Yeah, that's my appearance too. And British Western writers too. David Whitehead, he is a close friend of mine and he grew up with nearly the same literature as I did. And we phone quite regularly and I'm sure we would talk about so many things when someday we meet in person.
I'm in contact with Dave as well. Obviously, he writes his novels under the pseudonym Ben Bridges and is extremely popular. I'm hoping to have him on the podcast when we talk about the Westerns in England, not just the Piccadilly Cowboys, but the other Western writers, because the Piccadilly Cowboys, it was just all about the violence, really.
I know.
It kept the Western alive during a period in America when it was floundering, and I'm grateful for that, but I still don't consider them something that really advanced the cause of the Western.
I knew the Edge and Steel novels. I liked them in the 70s. I also loved to read Louis Masterson's Morgan Cain novels from Norway.
Yes, and those are, again, going to be featured on the podcast in the future because they had such a tremendous impact on the Western genre in Europe because Louis Masterson was so popular.
Yeah, we had 5 of his Morgan Cain novels published and translated in Germany. That's why I knew him. And I always feel sorry that there were not more.
I'm fascinated by the American Western as it's translated around the world. And I don't think most American readers of Westerns are aware of this vast number of Westerns being published in other countries that we have no access to. I really feel we're missing out on something that's inherently American being furthered by writers in other countries.
That's correct. If you grow up with that kind of genre, you will never leave it, never again.
I'm aware Buffalo Bill Cody and his Wild West show arrived in Munich in about 1890. Have you written any novels that deal with that historic happening?
No. I guess I've too much to do currently with my series about the Texas Rangers. It's something new for Germany. I started with the Texas independence in 1835, 1836, and my plan is to write a story about the Texas Rangers for the last 200 years.
Oh my goodness, that's going to be quite the body of work when you're done.
Yes, I have written already 6 books. Books 7 and 8 are now in the process, and there will be 4 books each year.
What do you enjoy most, the research or the writing?
I guess both. But when you are researching, you always find something new which was not familiar to you. And then when you see the new historical facts in the mind, a story develops already.
Do you have a favorite of all of your 200 Western novels or several favorites?
I guess the favorite novel is what I'm writing currently.
That makes a lot of sense because I feel the same way. The book I'm currently writing is my favorite until I hit the point where I run up against a wall with it, and then I hate it.
Yeah.
Until I get through it.
Yeah, that's it.
When the words start to flow again, all of a sudden it becomes a favorite again. But there's a time period, usually about 3/4 of the way through, where you go, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this.
But I've never been on a writer's block. I have never had any blockade as far as writing is concerned. I'm just writing a book. When it is finished, I start tomorrow with the next one.
That's amazing. You can't have writer's block when you're turning out 20 novels a year. You're a word machine.
Could be that you can describe it that way, but I don't see me as a working machine. I'm just a guy who does it just for the love of it.
James Reisner, who's an American Western writer, writes about 1 million words a year and has done for the past decade, which just fascinates me. And he's the same as you. He never experienced what other writers call writer's block. He can sit down at his typewriter every day and put those words on paper.
By the way, I know James.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
He's a very nice guy.
He is.
How many words a day do you usually write down?
I don't count the words. I just know that after 4 or 6 weeks, everything is ready. I just start when I come back from my sales job, writing at 5 till 6, and then from 8 till 9. And I can even stop in the middle of the sentence and can continue tomorrow.
That's amazing. Alfred, that's the clanging of the chuck wagon triangle telling me it's time to wrap up this episode with some shootouts and shoutouts. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being with me today to talk about your Westerns and the Westerns in Germany in particular. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a great honor and a pleasure for me.
Thanks to our Six Gun Justice Patreon subscribers for their one-time or monthly support. If you are so inclined, you can help cover the cost of the podcast by using the donate button at the top of our website, sixgunjustice.com. Prior Six Gun Justice podcast episodes continue to be available on all major podcast streaming platforms. Until we meet again, be kind to each other, be kind to yourself, and may all your trails be happy. Adios for now. I'm out of here. Let's ride.